Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the webcast for the Fall 2023 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. My name is Katie Orlandi, and I'm from Mera Economic Consulting, the Procurement Administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Paul Cardona, also from NERA. So this webcast will cover the three procurement events held under this fall BEC RFP. These include two events to procure block energy for Ameren, Illinois and Commonwealth Edison, and a third procurement event for capacity for Ameren, Illinois. And so, you know, throughout this presentation, we may refer to the utilities as follows. So Ameren, Illinois as AIC and Commonwealth Edison as ComEd. We're going to take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions, please use the chat icon at the bottom of your screen and type in your question and hit enter. And so, you know, the presentation materials, this includes the audio recording and the questions and answers, will be posted to the procurement website today. That's ipa-energyrfp.com. So this slide provides a short disclaimer. Any statements herein or made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. And those governing documents include the contract documents that were posted on July 18th and the RFP documents that were posted on July 19th. So these are all available, again, on the procurement website, ipa-energyrfp.com. And bidders bear full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. Before I move to the agenda for the webcast, this slide provides a screenshot for navigating to those governing documents. So from ipa-energyrfp.com, you'll go to the Block Energy and Capacity Procurement section in orange on the left, and then click on the final materials. So on the call today, I will start with an overview of the procurement, including the products to be procured. I'll provide some details on the supplier contracts and a general overview of the RFP process and timeline. And then I'll pass the presentation to Paul Cardona for the second half, and he'll cover the RFP process requirements and then a section on bid submission and the evaluation procedures. So this slide provides the regulatory background. On September 28, 2022, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. The plan was approved on December 15, 2022, and that plan provides for three procurement events to be held this fall under the Block Energy and Capacity RFP. As I mentioned, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for this RFP, and in this role, we serve as your main point of contact. We review the qualification materials that you submit to us, and we will evaluate the bids that are received on the bid date. We have an important note up front that there's a new energy fuel mix reporting requirement beginning with the procurements held in 2023. So in accordance with the December 15th order, the public results release for energy products will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids. This information will be posted in aggregate across winning bidders. So bidders with bids that are identified as winning bids on the bid date will be required to fill out a fuel mix report template for those winning bids and submit it to us by 6 p.m. on the day after the bid date. And that report will provide the expected fuel mix at the point of bidding by month and on-peak, off-peak segment for a company. And we'll go over this requirement throughout the presentation. Also importantly, please know the IPA will request the actual fuel mix of supply from each winning bidder during the delivery term. So each December and June, the IPA will request information for the preceding 6 months. This slide introduces the products available in the RFP. Then I'll move more into more detailed slides, first related to energy and then related to capacity. So the RFP seeks to procure block energy for Ameren and ComEd. The products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from October 1st, 2023 through May 31st, 2026. There are no quantities to be procured for Mid-American Energy Company in this fall RFP. Also notably, the targets for ComEd reflect a 50% hedging target for this event, which is a lower hedging target than prior years and stems from the regulatory proceedings. The capacity product is procured for Ameren only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season as defined by MISO for the 2024-25 and 2025-26 planning years. And they're procured in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for Ameren for these 2 years. ZRCs can be offered from all zones. And so ZRCs from outside Ameren's compliance zone, which is local resource zone 4, will be subject to a payment adjustment under the contract. And I'll provide some more information about this adjustment on a further slide. An energy product represents block energy for a company, either Ameren or ComEd. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and for a given month. And the quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts. The final targets, or the number of blocks to be procured for each product, have already been posted to the procurement website. You can follow the link that's provided on this slide to download the final targets. Bidders can also bid on combinations of products for a particular company, an on-peak or off-peak segment. The available combinations are January and February, March and April, July and August, Q4, as well as an annual combination, which includes all months June to May of the planning year. The number of blocks available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks available across each of the months in that combination. And I'm going to go through a quick example on the next slide. So this slide provides the final targets for Ameren, along with an example of how the number of available blocks for combinations are set. And again, the targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. So the top table includes the final targets for Ameren for individual monthly products. For example, for October 2023, in the top row, the target is 7 blocks for the on-peak segment and 6 blocks for the off-peak segment. And then in the bottom table, we have the number of blocks available for each combination for Ameren. So specifically for the March-April 2024 combination, there are 7 on-peak blocks available, and that's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of March and April 2024 above is 7, applicable to April 2024. So the bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. After that first step, for the block energy events, the evaluation will identify the least cost package for each company across all bids that are received. So that completes the overview of the energy products. I have 2 slides here now on capacity. So as defined in MISO's tariffs, A ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. The season definitions are from MISO and they're provided here on this slide. Summer is June to August, fall is September to November, winter December to February, and spring is March to May. ZRCs must be transferred to Ameren using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline that's specified in the contract. That deadline is ahead of MISO's, upcoming planning resource auction. ZRCs from all zones can be offered. Again, there's a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside the compliance zone that are selected and approved. The compliance zone is Local Resource Zone 4. So ZRCs for a given season of a planning year are procured up to a target for that season. The final targets are provided in the table on this slide and are also posted to the final materials page. And you can access these final targets for capacity using the URL here on this slide. So in the capacity procurement event, a bid includes a price in dollar per megawatt day for at least one ZRC for a given season, the number of ZRCs to which the price applies, and then the source zone of those ZRCs. Bidders can submit bids for ZRCs with different prices, quantities, and source zones up to the target for that season. And again, the source zone provided in the bid is the local resource zone in which the ZRCs are located. So in the second half of the presentation, Paul will present more on completing the bid form and providing more detail on bids and bid evaluation. Generally, the evaluation of bids for capacity will proceed independently for each season, and it'll consist of two steps. First, again, the evaluation will consider only bids that meet or beat benchmarks. Benchmarks for capacity are also developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the ICC. And second, the evaluation selects the lowest price bids to fill the target for a given season. This next section is an overview of the supplier contract. So as I mentioned, the final contracts were posted on July 18th. There are separate energy contracts for Ameren and ComEd, and again, a separate contract for Ameren Capacity Products. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders will be required to accept the terms of the supplier contract for the procurement event or events for which they are applying during the qualification process and prior to the bid dates. So in effect, this means that all bidders in a procurement event are agreeing to the same terms. And you will be agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract within 3 days of commission decision of the results if you have bids that have been selected. The contracts that are posted for fall 2023 are the same final contracts from spring 2023 with just administrative date updates only. So this slide covers an overview of the main credit terms for the energy contracts. The exposure calculation is based on a mark-to-market methodology, so there may be a collateral requirement applicable to the seller. This requirement will apply to the seller only. If there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. Within each contract, there are standard letters of credit and guarantee forms, and also a document that has a list of modifications to the form of guarantee that are already acceptable to the respective company. Notably, if a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, a single guarantee can be used. And this slide has a description of the payment under the contract for ZRCs. So for a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, The amount that's paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone in dollar per megawatt day. That's then multiplied by the number of VRCs delivered and multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season. And I mentioned that payment for ZRCs from zones outside of zone four will be adjusted. The adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price of the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. And we actually have currently posted on our website several numerical examples for how the payment adjustment is done. You can check out those FAQs on the FAQ section of the procurement website. And there's no payment adjustment required for ZRCs from the compliance zone. This final slide in this section covers the main credit terms for the capacity contract. Again, the collateral requirement that we'll cover here applies only to the seller. Exposure under this contract will be 10% of the contract value and is required on the effective date. The contract value is based on bids that are approved, and then any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are from a zone outside of the compliance zone. So if after any adjustments the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Again, any required performance assurance can be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. And there are standard forms of letters of credit and guarantee that's provided along with this contract as well. So that concludes the overview of the supplier contract. This next section is an overview of the RFP process. So in order to qualify to bid in the BEC RFP, you're going to need to submit qualification materials to us online. If you're a new bidder and you've not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your proposal, you should go ahead and do that now. You can register either by going to the procurement site, ipa-energyrfp.com, and clicking on the qualification form link on the left-hand side, and then clicking register here. Or you could go ahead and send an email directly to our email address, illinois-rfp@nera.com, with the bulleted information requested on this slide. And the individual that registers for the account is going to be the individual that receives an email from us with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in an event in 2021 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2021 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you don't have to re-register, every account holder will have to activate their account anew in order to access the form. So for a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2021 or later, the representative will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you're an account holder as of 2021 but have not participated, then it's the individual that registered for the account that's going to get that email. We'll also send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders. This will include screenshots for how to activate your account. All this information is going to come prior to the opening of the Part 1 window, which is August 8th. So the RFP process kicks off on Tuesday, August 8th. This is the opening of the Part 1 window when applicants can begin submitting their proposal materials. So your proposal is submitted in two parts, a Part 1 proposal and then a Part 2 proposal. And Paul's going to go into the details of the requirements in each of those proposals in the next half of the presentation. The Part 1 window is from August 8th through August 15th. Entities that have not participated in a procurement event in 2023 must pay the $500 bid participation fee by the Part 1 deadline on August 15th. Instructions for payment of the bid participation fee will be sent to account holders before the Part 1 window opens. Bidders are notified whether they qualified and that they can submit a Part 2 proposal on the Part 1 notification date, which is August 21st. The next day is the Part 2 window opening, and Part 2 proposals, which includes posting bid assurance collateral for the energy procurement events, are due on August 31st. The deadline to post bid assurance collateral to participate in the capacity procurement event is due the following week on September 7th. We will hold a bidder training for both energy and capacity bidders on Wednesday, September 6th. And this is the opportunity for qualified bidders to practice all bid procedures that will be used on the bid dates. The bid date for the energy events is Monday, September 11th, and the capacity bid date is Friday, September 15th. The results of the procurement events are subject to commission approval. The commission is expected to render a decision on the results of the energy procurements on September 14th. And the capacity procurement event on September 21st. So as I laid out on that last slide, the process begins August 8th and proceeds over 6 weeks. Suppliers start by submitting a Part 1 proposal to become qualified for one or more procurement events. Suppliers may then submit the Part 2 proposal for any procurement event for which they qualified. Then bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Both the procurement administrator, that's us, and the procurement monitor for this RFP will submit separate reports on the results to the commission, and then the commission renders a decision on the results for each procurement event. Next, the utilities and winning sellers can proceed to executing the contracts, and winning sellers will be required to pay supplier fees to the IPA. And this slide provides the current estimate for the supplier fees. So these estimates are $496 per on-peak block, $331 per off-peak block, and $20 per ZRC. And the final supplier fees will be announced 4 business days prior to the applicable bid date. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Paul Cardona.
Thank you, Katie. This next section, I will be going over the application process and the requirements associated with participating in the fall 2023 BEC RFP. So all bidders participating in the fall 2023 procurement events, block energy procurement events, must complete a two-part application process. The first portion of this process is called the Part 1 proposal and consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the form or sent by email to the procurement administrator at illinois-rfp@nera.com, inserts, which are standalone Microsoft Word documents that were posted to the application or to the RFP website on July 19th, as well as payment of the bid participation fee that is due to the IPA directly if you have not already participated in an IPA procurement event in 2023. So if you participated in this spring 2023 BEC RFP, you would not be required to pay that bid participation fee again. But if you participated, if you haven't participated in 2023, you will be required to submit that fee. Part 1 proposals are due at 12 p.m. Central on Monday, August 15th, 2023. The Part 1 form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address, information about its participation in PJM and or MISO. The bidder will also ask to be named or also asked to name an officer who will sign all certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal, a representative of the bidder who serves as the bidder's main point of contact for purposes of the RFP, as well as nominees. And it's important to note that we will only communicate with representative or nominees. So bidders must ensure that the people that are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are named in the Part 1 form. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications by signing inserts with the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals. All Part 1 and Part 2 inserts are posted to the procurement website. For efficiency purposes, the officer of the bidder may sign all required Part 1 and Part 2 inserts at once and submit these inserts with the Part 1 proposal. So that would be submitting the Part 2 inserts for early processing. A bidder that does this would not be required to resubmit these Part 2 inserts with the Part 2 form. There are two methods for signing the inserts. They can either be signed with a wet signature scanned or electronic signature and emailed by the signatory with a signatory on copy to illinois-rfp@nero.com, or they could be submitted with a digital signature along with an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory. If bidders choose the digital signature route, they can be either uploaded to the application website or emailed to illinois-rfp@nera.com. Note that each of the inserts will include specific instructions for that insert's completion. As mentioned before, all bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 for all 2023 procurement events. This bid participation fee is due by 12 p.m. noon on the Part 1 date, again, which is August 15th, 2023. Payment by check is not an acceptable method of payment. There are only two methods of payment, and those methods are both electronic and are e-pay as well as ACH. We will send out a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. This information will be sent to all current account holders and those individuals who have recently requested qualification materials. Also required by the Part 1 form is our financial requirements, where the bidder may name an entity on whose financial standing they're relying. The bidder chooses to either rely on its own financial standing or on the financial standing of another party. This would be a guarantor. You'll be required to provide ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying, as well as certain other financial information, including annual and quarterly reports. Note that if any of the information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in Section 10 of the Part 1 form, which is also called the Justifications of Omissions. The Part 1 proposal requires additional information and inserts for each procurement you are participating in. Bidders participating in the AIC Energy procurement event will fill out Section 4 of the online Part 1 form. ComEd will be Section 5, and AIC Capacity will be Section 7. Under those sections, you will be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents. Note that this document is required to be provided in Word. You'll also be required to provide representations of the officer of the bidder. The Part 2 proposal will require additional representations from that same officer that can be provided with the Part 1 proposal. The last two sections are for bidders under special circumstances. So Section 8 is for bidders applying under an agency agreement, and Section 9 is for bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. Note that bidders will not be able to provide comments on the standard letters of credit. The final standard letters of credit have been posted to the procurement website. Those documents, along with acceptable modifications, are available on the final materials page. As Katie mentioned earlier in the presentation, there are new fuel mix requirements for the 2023 block energy procurement events. Specifically, the public results release for energy products will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. The officer of the bidder must certify in his part one certification insert for each of the procurement events that the bidder is intends to bid, that if we notify the bidder that it has bids on a company's energy products that are identified as winning bids to the commission, the bidder will be required to submit a complete fuel mix report by 6 p.m. on the day after the bid date, which is September 12th. A bidder that successfully completes the Part 1 proposal for a procurement event receives a Part 1 notification for each of the procurement events in which it participates. The Part 1 notification will be sent to bidders on August 21st, 2023 via secure electronic method. Documents for the submission of the Part 2 proposal are included with this Part 1 notification and include amounts of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks for the AIC Energy and Combat procurement events, bid forms, and information needed to submit bids. The Part 1 notification will also include an invitation and training where bidders will be able to practice the bid submission procedures. Finally, for bidders participating in the Block Energy procurement events, we will include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is again due by 6 p.m. on September 12th from a bidder who has bids identified as winning bids to the ICC. After successfully completing the Part 1 process, a bidder moves on to the Part 2 process. The Part 2 proposal consists of several items: information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications uploaded or sent via email, if not already provided with the Part 1 proposal, submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit for each of the procurement events in which a bidder intends to bid, and the last piece are bids themselves. It's important to note that there are multiple deadlines relating to the Part 2 proposal, and they are listed here on this slide. Energy bid assurance collateral is due before capacity bid assurance collateral. Additionally, the energy bid date comes before the capacity bid date. Moving on to bid assurance collateral, the first item I'll talk about is using a letter of credit for meeting the bid assurance collateral requirements. So bidders may post cash or provide a letter of credit, but if using a letter of credit, the standard letters of credit are posted to the RFP website in Word format. Bidders must use the standard format or only incorporate modifications deemed acceptable by the applicable utility. The final pre-bid letters of credit, as well as acceptable modifications to each utility, were posted on June 30th. Pre-bid letters of credit must be submitted electronically only and sent directly to the applicable utility using the email addresses provided in the letters of credit and copying the procurement administrator. Note that this the document must come from the bank and must not be forwarded from the bidder. Bidders posting cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirements must provide several documents, including a cash insert, the draft request for return of cash, a W-9 to which cash is returned, to the entity to which cash is returned, as well as the completion of the AIC vendor form. With respect to the cash inserts, a bidder must acknowledge, one, that the conditions under which cash may be drawn, two, that no interest will be paid for cash submitted, and three, that a utility may commingle cash submitted with other funds. Note that if a bidder is participating in both the AIC and AIC Energy and AIC Capacity procurement events, that bidder may send a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required for both procurement events. Lastly, there are different collateral requirements based on the procurement event you're participating in. For the energy procurement events, bid assurance collateral must be submitted in an amount of $5,000 per block, subject to a minimum per utility, which is $250,000. The We will confirm the number of blocks that you can bid on in the ASC Energy or the ComEd procurement events based on the amount of the applicable bid assurance collateral that you provide. The capacity bid assurance collateral must be in an amount of $200,000, regardless of the amount a bidder plans to bid. Bidders submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided with the Part 1 notification. On the bid date, incompletely or inconsistently filled out bid forms will not be evaluated. So what this means on the bid date, you'll have until the end of submission of the submission window to cure any deficiency in the bid form, or 10 minutes if we provide notice or your review with less than 10 minutes left in the bid window. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via secure bid transfer website. Bidders will have the opportunity to practice the bid submission process during a training session. The training session also allows for practicing a backup bid submission process. Note, for bidder training, there is no webcast accompanying the training. It will solely be conducted through the secure bid transfer site. We will send with the Part 1 notification a step-by-step guide for this bid submission process. There are two different bid dates for the energy procurement events and capacity procurement event. The energy bid date is Monday, September 11th. The capacity bid date is Friday, September 15th. Note, for the energy procurement events, there are overlapping bid windows. So bids for the 2024-2025 and 2025-2026 delivery years are due 1 hour prior to bids for the 1 hour prior to bids for the 2023-2024 delivery year. While notification is not required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, we aim to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6 p.m. on the bid date with written notice to follow. So a couple of deadlines related to bids or winning bidders that I'd like to flag right now. So if not already provided with a Part 1 proposal, bidders must provide the contract inserts for preparation of the applicable supplier contracts by 12 p.m. Noon Central Time the next day. This is true for both bidders in the block energy and the capacity procurement events. Additionally, bidders with winning bids in an energy procurement event must provide the fuel mix data using Appendix 18 by 6 p.m. the next day. As Katie mentioned, both the procurement administrator and procurement monitor will each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the bid date. The ICC will then decide whether or not to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving the reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. Lastly, before moving on to the next section, I want to talk about the contract execution process. So each company will send bidders via electronic means partially executed contract documents. The bidder countersigns, sends back electronically those contract documents and fulfills the creditworthiness requirements. Sellers that are unable to execute the documents using a wet signature will be required to use a digital signature for ComEd. The creditworthiness requirements are handled differently depending on the company. ComEd prepares the guarantee for winning bidders, and bidders will have an option to amend any guarantee that ComEd has, that they have in place with ComEd, instead of signing a replacement guarantee. Winners in the procurement event for AIC submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by AIC. Finally, bidders must pay a supplier fee to the IPA within 7 business days after the commission decision. Bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon if supplier fees are not paid to the IPA on or before the 7th business day. Before concluding the presentation, I'm going to go through the bids and bid forms, starting with the energy procurement events. So a bid in the block energy procurement events consists of both a price and a quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product or for a block of the combination and is expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note, you can bid on all blocks for a product, and it doesn't preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations that include that product. So I'll just go through a quick example. Say the target is two blocks for February 2024 during the on-peak period for a utility. A bidder can submit a bid for both February 2024 individual blocks as well as the January-February combination. In total, the bidder is submitting bids for three blocks in February 2024, even though the target is only two blocks. Bidders successfully submitting a Part 1 proposal for energy products will receive two bid forms with a Part 1 notification. Each bid form is associated with the two overlapping bid windows that I mentioned earlier. The first bid form will contain the out years, so the 2024-2025 and 2025-2026 delivery years. And the second bid form will be for the prompt delivery year, so 2023-2024. There is a concept that I want to go over for the block energy procurement events before moving on, which is called the maximum willingness to supply. You will also see it shown as MWS. The MWS is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment and month for a company. So, for example, say a bidder wants to win up to three July 2024 on-peak blocks for utility. The bidder would then specify a maximum willingness supply for July 2024 on peak of three. But they could bid for three individual July 2024 blocks and also bid for three July-August combinations. However, because they set their MWS three, the procurement administrator could only select as many bids up to three blocks from some combination of the bids for the individual July blocks and the bids for the July-August combination blocks. The bidder may, but is not required to specify this MWS for a segment of a month. And if you want to know more about MWS, we encourage you to download and read Appendix 17 to these RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. Finally, as Katie briefly mentioned earlier in the presentation, the bid evaluation proceeds on two steps. First, bids that fail to meet the confidential benchmarks are eliminated. And two, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. Lastly, before addressing any questions received throughout this presentation, I'll talk briefly about capacity bids and the capacity bid form. Bids for each season in the two planning years will be submitted in a single bid form. All seasons for a given planning year are located on a single tab. A bid in the capacity RFP consists of, for each season, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with the quantity of ZRCs, and the local resource zone of those ZRCs. You are required to provide the local resource zone because ZRCs from outside of local resource zone 4 may be bid into the RFP. A bidder may bid on any number of ZRCs at a given price, but cannot exceed the ZRC target for a given season in a plan year. Now, I'll quickly go over an example. For summer 2024, this bidder is submitting bids for 200 ZRCs in total. This bidder can submit bids for ZRCs in a number of different ways and submits the bid shown here. So in our example, the bidder submits a single ZRC at $5 per megawatt day, but submits 65 ZRCs at $100 per megawatt day. Note that it is not necessary for the procurement administrator to identify all ZRCs at a given price as winning bids. For example, if a bidder submits 200 ZRCs for summer 2024, season, it may be the case that the procurement administrator need only select 190 of that bidder's CRCs. The bidder would then have 55 of its CRCs bid at $100 per megawatt day selected as 20 bids, and the remaining 10 would not be selected. Similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps for each season in a plan year. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the lowest price bids for a season in a planning year are selected until the applicable target is met. So that concludes the presentation portion